Well, praise the Lord, everyone. Just, I am grateful that God has allowed me to come on and bless you all. There is definitely something that God has given me to say, and I am extremely excited about that. I do pray that as you all are listening to this particular show, that this is, you know, the first show of the year 2020. There's something in specific that I have really wanted to discuss, and it's become very vital, very important, you know, because we're dealing with the ministry in the marketplace. And so that has some serious significance to where we are today, where we're going, and extremely about what we're doing. So, you know, the thing that I'm really just going to enjoy about this particular show is being archived and recorded is the fact that these are some things that I really went over in 2008. When I actually started, you know, the Blog Talk Radio, and I'm amazed right now to actually see those things that God had definitely given to me in my spirit back in 2008, that they're coming to pass, you know, right now. So before we get started, you know, into it, I just want to say a quick word of prayer. You know, gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God, we appreciate you. Father, you have been good to us, Lord. You have allowed us to enter into the year of 2020 and even the second day. And Father, as we experience this second day, Father, we pray, God, that the days to come, that we are engaging those with purpose, oh God, intentionally, oh God, engaging these days, that we are able to serve you through the people that you send us. And Lord, we just thank you. We glorify you. God, I appreciate everyone that you have placed in my life, God, to walk with me, to talk with me, Father, God, to share with me, Lord, because I know, God, this is not about me. This is all about you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, you know, tonight is kind of unique and in its own right, you know, not because it's the new year, and not because we are in the second day of the year. It's unique because this is the beginning of the first day of the rest of your life. And that's what makes this unique. I sent out a post on January the 1st that kind of, you know, identified that. You know, and I wanted to stress that, you know, that it's not important about this, you know, January 1st or the 2nd, being the first or second day of the year 2020 or that it's a new year, you know, because chronologically we are keeping up with that. What is critical that in this first day is this is the rest of your life. This is this moment. This is this carry-off time, this critical moment for the rest of your life. And if there are, you know, some changes that are made, it should not come because you're stepping into a new year. You know, change should not come because of a new year. The change should be sparked or set on fire when the decision is made not to repeat behaviors that were destructive yesterday. So, you know, and I really want people to grab a hold of that, you know, so because I celebrate, you know, the days that should appear that is going to ignite a fire to stop destroying, you know, my life for you. And you should recognize the flammable liquids or something that is able to spark or ignite something that would push you to do something different that you did not do yesterday. I'm not concerned about whether it was 2019 two days ago, because a year really only doesn't make that much of a difference when you're continually thinking the same way and you're continually doing the same thing. And so, and especially when you are expecting something different to happen. And when that different thing does not happen, then it's when we kind of want to go back and research or look at some issues or some things that have come our way that really has not made sense. And so what's critical, again, about this very moment, this very day, it is not that we are in 2020. It's the fact that you are in a new day. And according to the Jewish calendar or the Jewish time clock, is when the day goes dark, it starts a new day. So when the sun was going down today, a new day entered in. And have you made the decision not to do the same things that you did yesterday? Because if your mindset doesn't change from yesterday, you're going to continue to repeat the same destructive behaviors. And again, if any of you all know me, the people that are online, the folks that are calling in, God bless many of you all. You know, the thing that it is really sticking with me, you know that I'm very transparent. And in my transparency, I have to point out the areas in my life that I need some change in. And for me to go about each day to think that I should not make changes, you know, I'm fooling myself. And so there are changes that have to be made. There are some decisions that has to be made. And there are some turns and some roads that have to be traveled. There are some roads that I have to get off of. And so, you know, and so this is important now, because when we talk about the ministry in the marketplace, we are literally discussing how you serve God in what you do. I want you to grab a hold of that now. The true definition of ministry is how you serve God through the people that he sends you to. And so we have left the term ministry in a church setting, or if I could, in a building, you know. In 2008, I spoke about this. And I believe at that time when God gave it to me, that there were some changes that were going to be made. And literally, that I know there would be a lot of changes that would happen in my life. You know, and so, because in 2008, I was married. And so God, you know, sheltered me through a very difficult moment in my life. But, you know, regardless of the difficulty of the moment, what he had said to me would never change. And so he wanted me to find him in the marketplace. Don't look for me in the sanctuary that we call sanctuary, the building. Don't look for me in the four walls that we call church. You know, I need for you to find me in the marketplace. Now, I really didn't understand what that meant. I can be honest with you. I thought I had an inkling about it, but I really didn't understand it. And so now the point that I'm driving to, and I'm not going to get ahead of myself, because the thought now that God would want me to find him in the marketplace. Now I have to determine in my search, you know, where am I looking for him? And when we say marketplace, we live in a digital world. You know, now everything is internet. Was that what he was talking about in 2008? Am I looking for him on the internet? Or am I going downtown in various businesses and am I searching him out? Be it if I'm in the banking business, if I'm in the private sector of business and where different corporations, am I looking for him there? Or am I looking for him publicly, you know, in government, public municipalities and things of that nature? Am I looking him in running for office? Am I looking for him trying to be a city councilman, a chamber of commerce member, a mayor? Or am I looking for him in the government? You know, is there contracts or is there a position that he wants me to hold? It wasn't really clear of what God was asking of me to find him in the marketplace. Now, if ministry is how we serve God through people, it is indicative now that there are some people involved if I'm going to serve God. I'm not serving God by just giving money. You know, sometimes we give money and it detaches us away from the very essence of the mission that God had given us. And so that makes it, you know, feel good that I gave money, right? But God wasn't looking for your money. He was looking for you. He wanted you to invest yourself in where he was sending you. And that's critical now. It's important that you find that out, because in this thing we call the ministry and the marketplace, when God sends you out there, this is not a religious feeling. So we have to be mindful now, because the ministry in the marketplace is still about you hearing God send you to a sector of people that you can serve them now. Now I want you to hear that now. A sector of people that God sends you to that you may serve them. Now, it's interesting because I have one scripture to read referencing this, and it was crazy when I read it because the way that God gave it to me, and it needed to make sense in some shape, form, or fashion. How can I make this make sense to me that God is sending me to a certain amount of people, a group of folks in the private sector, in the public sector, or in the government? You know, how is he sending me? Am I to go there with my Bible? Am I to go there with a word in my mouth? How am I to do ministry in the marketplace? Now, for me to think that I'm going there with a Bible in my hand or word of the Lord, I have missed the total picture. Because God has blessed each and every one of us with a skill, and I want to say a passion to do something for a certain group of people, and whatever we do is something that they need. And because they need it now, we are going to serve God by delivering that particular product or that service to these people, and they now are not going to see me, so to speak, but they're now going to envision God. Boy, I just hope you all just grab hold of what I said. It does not mean I'm going to go into the public sector singing a song or with the Bible in my hand, right? It doesn't mean that's not what this is referring to. The ministry in the marketplace is the gift that God has given you to go to a certain group of people that need the gift that you have. Some of us, if we raised in a church, we can only go no further than the four walls because we think our gift is singing, we think our gift is preaching, teaching, prophesying, evangelizing, or apostolizing, if I could use that word. But that's used in the church realm. And it really loses focus now of the very essence of what God was saying or what he was doing. And so knowing that now, we have to understand completely now, if you can bear with me here for a moment, you know, completely what God is saying. And so because of that, he led me to one scripture, and that one scripture is Ephesians chapter number 4. Verse number 11, and I want to show you this now, and you've got to grab a hold of this. Some of you all are saying, I know what that scripture is, and I don't know where he's going with this. So I want you to really grab a hold of this now, because this is key. This is key now. This is not me trying to build a bridge to get you to believe something or see something. I really want you to grab a hold of this. If you can hear me, this is Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11. If you have it, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, so if you grab a hold of that now, he gave these gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And the reason that he gave these, right, according to Paul, right, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And that means that we're going to minister for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, Jesus did not do his work in the tabernacle of the temple. Jesus was in the marketplace, right? We put so much emphasis on walking into a building to do ministry where folks gather. And on Sunday night when we gather, we exclude people that don't believe what we believe. And so we exclude people that don't dress like we dress, that don't sing like we sing, or can't pray like we pray, because that's on Sunday. But when you walk into the marketplace and God has given you a gift, then that gift is going to serve some people. Those folks are going to be black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Russian. They're going to be from all sectors of life, and they're going to need what you have. And so because God gave you that gift now, he puts you in between him, the people, and the need. I hope y'all hear exactly what I'm saying. So God doesn't put you behind the need. He doesn't put you behind the people. Because he's given you a gift now, he puts the people on one side and he places that need behind you. And you step between the need and the people. And they now begin to see that you are furnishing a need that is going to help them to either survive, to live, or to own businesses or work more businesses. And so now these are the people. And if you can remember now, ministry is how we serve God through people. Without people now, you cannot serve God, because he did not put us here to be by ourselves just to deal with ourselves. So, but he put us here on this particular planet that we call Earth in this particular season, this kairos time, meaning that he picked this particular time. It didn't mean because it was 2020, January the 2nd, or because he pulled you out of 2019. He put you in the midst of this particular moment right now that you would make a decision not to haste or make waste of the time that God had given you with the gift that you may serve. So if God gave you a gift of administration, that wasn't administration for a ministry. That was administration for companies or people. If he gave you the gift of understanding and loving what I call HR, human resources, he puts you there because in that gift now, he's going to position you with people or companies that have a need. Now that there is nature of business now, because you know in business now people have services or products that other folks desire or need, and now because Jesus now was in the marketplace, that's where he dealt with all of his apostles in the book of Mark. That's where he selected his apostles, and this is where he ran up against them. So now in the marketplace, he's selecting these apostles, and he's doing it in the midst of doctors, lawyers. He's doing it in the midst of carpenters, fishermen, and tent makers, right? All of these people are in the marketplace. And so some of them are private, some of them are public, and some of them are governmental officials or businesses. And because everybody needs food, a fisherman now can take his gift and go and catch fish and serve people, right? Now, he's not serving them for free, because they now have to pay
for the labor of the gift. I hope I'm not losing you now, because I want you to know that your service unto God, when you deal with people, is not that of what we call just a nonprofit. Oftentimes we think that our service unto God is of a nonprofit, that where we can give and it's just from giving, right? And but that's not so. Because your gift now that you have, whether you be an accountant, whether you be a payroll director, whether you be a nurse, whether you be a doctor, whether you be an anesthesiologist, whether you be a carpenter, whether you be a brick mason, whether you be a concrete pourer, whether you be a truck driver, whether you be a hotel attendant, all of these are gifts because you have to possess something that you can offer someone in the midst of their need. Boy, I hope you all are grabbing a hold of what I'm saying here, and I haven't even got to the crest of it yet. I'm still kind of just shaving off the surface, because to a lot of you, you entered into the new year and you made resolutions of what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. You're going to pray more. You're going to give more. You know, and I'm one that believes you cannot give unless you've received the gift that God has given you. And if you don't take that gift and multiply that gift, then you have nothing to give. And so if you now can understand that the ministry now is how God uses the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, I want to take you away from the mindset that those particular governmental gifts, because there are many other than that, these are just governmental gifts, are being used in the public sector, in the private sector, and in the government sector to offer them services in order that they may serve other people, prosper in business, or even manage their own collective things that God has given them to do. Boy, I hope y'all can grab a hold of what I'm saying, because, you know, in the midst of all of this, there are some things that we have to understand. And for all of you that are listening, God has spoken to you at one point in time before 2019, probably in 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, don't know when, but he whispered in your ear and he told you that was something that he needed for you to do. And it kind of may have confused you if you were raised in ministry or if you entered into a church and you could not understand how what God was asking you had anything to do with church. Boy, that's deep now. You probably didn't understand what God was asking of you. If he told you, I remember someone saying to me that God told them to go into the nursing field. And when he mentioned that to them, he said that their family would never go lacking. And so at that point, that may have been the only thing that they understood about the gift that was already in them, because a nurse has to have the ability to serve. I hope y'all understand what I'm talking about here. And you cannot just serve the people that we look at or talk to on Sunday morning, a Sunday afternoon, those that just believe what you believe. Because your gift now that you have been educated to master puts you in the midst of folks that are ill that don't believe, and you got to serve them. Those that have mean spirits, and you got to serve them. Those that are evil in heart, and you have to serve them. This is the gift now that God has given you to do. And with this gift now, you cannot walk away from those that are mean-spirited, those that don't love God, those that don't believe that there's a God. Because when you come into the midst of them, they don't see you. You are ministering to the Lord through these people.
I said I wasn't going to preach the first day of the year, so I'm trying to hold myself back. Y'all don't mind, do you? So it's interesting now that that gift of a nurse now could be that teacher or to be that evangelist or and I say evangelistical missionary gift because a nurse is a mobile gift. That education allows you to cross state lines. It allows you to go into other countries. It allows you to serve in more than one hospital because you have a gift now to help people when they're ill and nurture them and minister to them, serve them in a manner by which they can retain good health again. And now it's not you that is doing this, though. God used education to get you to that point, but you have to have the heart of a servant in order to be a nurse. I hope y'all are listening to me now. But that evangelistical gift, that teaching gift now, it rests with you because wherever you go, you're going to teach, you're going to educate people on how to administer medication, on how to get well, and you're going to be mobile in that because you can do multiple things because they're not locked up in this hospital. They're hospice nurses. They're or nurses that deal with oncology. There are nurses that work in emergency rooms, infectious diseases. There are nurses that work in operating rooms. There are nurses that work with chiropractors. They're orthopedic nurses. And so there are different areas by which the gift now that God has given you in order to serve. Now, I'm not just picking on nurses because I'm not picking on anybody, but even God can take you a little bit higher because he can make a decision. If you hear him, he may have already made that decision that you now not depend on the hospital hiring you, but take you another step higher and cause you now to start a business by which you got nurses working everywhere. Watch it now. We're walking into the ministry of the marketplace. So now we talked about nurses, but, you know, we have human resources. We have payroll people. We have administrators. We have everyone. And I want you to understand why I read Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, because this was for the edifying of the body of Christ. This was for the work of the ministry. This was that we all come together as one. This is the true ministry where you can hear God give you a talent or a gift in your hands, and it takes you beyond the four walls, and it puts you amongst people that don't even know you but need what you have. Lord Jesus, I hope y'all hear me tonight. And now, how do we perfect these gifts? Because we're ministering now. We're ministering in the marketplace. We don't have the Bible in our hands. We are not standing on the street corner screaming about John 3:16. But we are talking about the gift that God had given us, and we are trying to identify the market that God is sending us to. Whew, man, if you're a writer tonight, if God has given you the gift to write and to write books, then he's putting you in the marketplace because he's giving you experiences, he's giving you knowledge, he's giving you wisdom now that you can impart this through books that you may not be able to have everybody listening to you on the radio or watching you on television. You know, but you can transcribe the very gift that God has given you to help them where they are through a manuscript, to a hard, a soft copy that is sitting in a store that someone walks by that would not have known you or come in contact with you, and they could grab a hold of that. Because you got to hear this now, because you know that wisdom to teach, that wisdom to administer, a minister of what God has given you, it becomes knowledge to them. And so there are three levels of learning. And so I want to just push this in here, if y'all don't mind. Some of you already know what this is. The first level of learning is
is knowledge. You receive knowledge when someone tells you something. And after you obtain the knowledge, you now work for an understanding. You study so you can understand the knowledge that you just received. And through that understanding, you want to put this knowledge to work, because it doesn't become your wisdom until it works for you. And so whatever now works for you becomes your wisdom. And you take what God has sent you through those three levels that have become wisdom, and you transcribe that wisdom in writing. And when you put this in book form, it becomes knowledge to everyone that picks it up. And as they pick it up, now you want to encourage them to take what they've just read and to gain an understanding. It is in the Word of God that says that in all thy getting, get an understanding. And so, you know, as you obtain that understanding and it works for you again, it becomes your wisdom. And it is in that wisdom, in those moments now, that you can take those writings to a market of people. Watch it now. We're in the marketplace and you're ministering in the marketplace, and they now purchase this wisdom from you, and now God now sustains you or rewards you from a monetary perspective of the knowledge that he gave you, of the position that he put you in to get an understanding of that knowledge. And when it worked for you, he put it in a wisdom form that you may write about it, and he's paying you for something that he gave you. Whew, man, you're standing in the marketplace now. And so I want you, I'm almost there. I'm getting there. I'm getting real close to bring us to a conclusion. So, you know, now there are these elements, and the reason why what I'm talking about is critical is because we in a country now that everybody wants to believe is a God-fearing country. And I disagree with that. There are people in this country that fear God, but that doesn't make this a God-fearing country. And I think it's the people that's in this country that fear God that are praying is what's holding this country up. I just, excuse me there. And so now, because we're in this country, we have laws, and it is governing how we are now doing business in the marketplace. And now it's the public market that people are driving money to. And I really want you to grab a hold of that and understand that. It is the public market that people are driving to. In this public market, we find people that are investing. And I want you to understand that real loudly now, because we have some people that love to invest. They love to buy stock, and they love to put money in the other companies, right? But that little money that you invest in this company is not driving that company one penny up or one penny down. The thing that drives a company's stock up or down is when someone, one of the first indicators is you have to understand what the balance sheet is in the earnings statement or the income statements of a company. The income statements of a company indicate whether that company has made money or not, but it goes in details to say that this company has spent numbers or high level amounts of money in expenses in these areas. And their income that they have brung in was either more or less than their expenses. And so sometimes the company can lose money but still be afloat because they have people that are investing money into the company. And so now, if I'm a billionaire and I take $1 billion of my money and put it into Coca-Cola, it is going to drive the stock up. If I go in and decide that I want my money because my $1 billion took Coca-Cola stock up $6 a share,
then now I've just made, if Coca-Cola shares $100 and I drive it up to $106, then I have made a significant amount of money. Now I can ask them to cash in my shares. I'm not only taking out my billion, but I'm taking out that additional $6 per share, which will now drive the stock down. And so what you will discover is at the end of the year, last year in 2000, just a few days ago, the stock market was etching up. It was rising because billionaires, millionaires were putting their money in the market because they did not want to go into 2020 with that money as cash on hand in the bank account. Because now that investment allows them, I'm in the marketplace now, this is a ministry in the marketplace, that money that they've invested now, that they pulled out of their bank accounts, allows them to use that as a tax deduction. And so in the new year, the stock is still up. Around the end of the first quarter now is when billionaires get ready to pay their taxes. And so in order that they don't use the money on hand to pay taxes, they are going to take the money out of the company they just invested in before the end of the year, in which you would then see within 45 days within the beginning of this year, excuse me, not 45 days, but 115 days, you will start seeing stock drop because billionaires are pulling their money out to pay their taxes. And before the end of the year, again, they're going to push money back in there so they don't lose money. It is the little people that are investing their life savings into these companies that start to lose. I am talking about the marketplace. And when you understand that, you will start investing money before the end of the year and pulling it before the end of the first quarter. Because that is when the stock is going to start to drop and evaluations of companies are starting to be minimal and very low. I'm in the marketplace because I know we're going to have people that are going to invest, right? And so we have those other people that we have out there that I'm going to spend the last 15 minutes discussing the new business owner in the year of 2020. Some of you all have thought last year, 2019, that you were tired of working for someone and that you are not getting ahead and that you were losing at every turn. Your paycheck doesn't get any bigger. Your expenses of living are getting bigger, but your paycheck is not. Tax brackets are busting and the cost of food is going up. Cost of gas is fluctuating to the point to where you can't really put a pin on it. And for those that you've gotten all the kids out of the house, and you are at that age where you're thinking about either downsizing or should I do something different in order that I might be able to live and survive in the future. These are critical moments right now. And so for the person that is thinking about going into business now, You're looking at areas and avenues. People talk about the SBA. You're talking about getting loans, and you're talking about looking at investors. I'm here to tell you all of that is garbage. Everybody that really, if you have someone investing in you, if they're going to invest in what you do, they want a percentage of the money that you make in ownership or percentage of the company. And they want some type of voting rights so they can determine whether or not you're going to push this company the way they want it. And let me tell you now, that is not the route that you want to go. There is an avenue that is out there that you can take. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but, you know, starting a new business is important. You know, you have to determine whether you're going to be a sole proprietorship, whether you're going to be an LLC, a partnership with someone, or whether you're going to be an S-Corp. All these decisions have to be made because you now have a product in mind. You have a service in mind that people are in need of. And now I want to say this now because
here is the thing. What is it that is going to make you different? If you're listening to this call, what is it that is going to make you different in the marketplace than the thousands of people that are doing the same thing that you do? Because you are now getting ready to serve God. I want you to hear me now. And so you are getting ready to serve God. And so God is not going to put you in a place to serve him without a people that he's going to put between you and him that needs to be served, that needs what you have. And if you can capture that, if you really understand that, then your vision that you're thinking about really doesn't have anything to do with the wealth and the amount of money that you're thinking about making, but the God you're getting ready to serve. Because you can serve money now in this business. And the idea of chasing that dollar can really pull you down and change your attitude. I said something to someone the other day, very dear to me. When Deion Sanders signed his contract years ago with the Atlanta Falcons, he said this, you know, when I signed that million-dollar contract, the Atlanta Falcons, you know, I was a broke fool. And when they gave me those $3 million, I was just a $3 million fool. Money does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. I want you to hear what I'm saying now. Money does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. And so if you're not addressing these issues with the right character, you're going into the marketplace not trying to serve God, but you're trying to serve money. And money can only do what you earn it to do. So if you serve something that don't have power, you become powerless. But if you serve God, he now makes this money comes in a cycle continually, right? And so now, so you're in business and God gives you a group of people to serve. You have something unique about you. You have something that is distinguished that you do, and you've done it for people for years, and you've made others rich, and I want you to step back for a moment and see how God has blessed you to see the gift that is in you. That eternal gift that came from God. He may have positioned you to be educated with it, but he positioned you that you would be blessed by that particular gift. And now that gift now, it will make room for you. It now goes into places and deal with people that you would not have normally dealt with. That's why we cannot treat the gift that God gave you as churchy or religious and keep it inside of a building. That's not God. And I don't want you to see that as God. You cannot take that gift and leave it there because now you're not able to grab a hold of all of the things and the people that God had put you in the midst of. Crucial now. Highly important that you understand that. Because this gift now takes you to a point of where when you look at it as a talent, do you want to bury that gift and not multiply it? Or do you want to take this gift to the marketplace that many can see it and that you can bless God through these people of how you're going to serve him? You know, and now that's crucial now. That's critical. And I want you to grab a hold of that. That requires vision. That requires purpose. That requires passion. And you that know me know I quote this like there's no tomorrow. Passion gives you permission. Whatever you are passionate about, God has given you permission to do it. So don't look for an excuse or a reason not to do it. Don't talk yourself out of the gift that God has positioned you to have. Don't come up with all of these reasons why it's not going to work or where things are going to go wrong. If you see where there may be an issue, God gave you a reason to come up with a plan that will make this work and not fail. Because God does not fail.
He has never failed. And he can take what he has given you. If you give it back to him and he multiplies it, that means he gives it to more people. He puts it in front of more people that they now appreciate the character by which you are serving them. I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. I don't want this to go over your head. So don't take what you read in Ephesians chapter 4 to meant just for a group of people to come in and preach and teach and just believe what you believe. That was for the marketplace. Because the body of Christ is not confined to a building. It is out in the midst of people. Now, finally, my brothers and sisters, I get to this point that I want you to grab a hold of. And some of you have heard me discuss this, and I don't want it to go over your head. I want it to be right in front of you. I want this to be that sweet potato pie that you're about to cut a piece of. You know, someone that I love very dearly says, don't forget to get your piece of the pie. And so I want you to get this because I'm cutting this pie for you right now. And now it's up to you on whether or not you eat sweet potato pie or whether you want lemon pie or whether you're looking for another flavor, another substance. It's up to you now. I can't determine that. And I want you to hear me real loud and clear because I'm going to use biblical reference to this. Peter is out fishing. And as he's fishing, he didn't catch anything. And he goes back and Jesus is on the shoreline. And something that we never took in place and we did not reference in our spirit is that in the beginning, when we read Genesis chapter number 1, the spirit of a man was given dominion over every fowl in the air, fish in the sea, and every creeping thing, seeing it walking upon the earth, everything that God had created, except for the sun and the moon. And so now, realizing that, Peter now is fishing, and he didn't catch anything, and he comes back and Jesus tells him to go out into the deep and cast your net. We know the story. Peter casts the net, and he's not able to pull in the fish. You are Peter with your net. But going out into the deep with the net is just obeying God. Because it's not just going out to the deep and doing what Jesus said. The fish now are going to obey God too. Because they know that they are submissive to the Spirit. And I believe in my spirit that when Peter cast that net, that Jesus had already sent a message to the fish and told them, when you see this net, get in. And those fish jumped in that net to the point where they were more interested and more obedient to what God was saying to them, that Peter could not even fathom the net was breaking. The ministry in the marketplace requires you to go into a deep area that nobody is going to and to cast your net, because before you get there, Jesus has already commanded that they get in the net. I'm getting ready to close. I got 10 minutes left. Your ministry in the marketplace is just not resting upon you trying to figure out what you should do. If you hear from the Lord
And God has positioned you now to enter into that market, to go out and do business now in the marketplace, whether it is private sector, public sector, or the government. He is requiring you because you weren't successful the first time you went out there. Because you went shadow walking. You didn't go out deep enough because it was known that the fish wouldn't be out that deep at night. They're closer to the edge. But this time you have to take the ministry, that service that God has given you to serve people, to serve him through them. He's now telling you to take the vehicle that you have used to do business and cast it in this deep area, because he has already told them that you will come. He's already warned them that you have the capacity now to bring them in. Because what you catch from them, you're taking to a new market of people that need that fresh fish. I hope you all have really grasped hold to what I have said tonight. This is the second day of the year, the first day of the year for me to do this show. And it wasn't diving into to some things I've talked about before, but it was positioning you to get away from the religious stand that you have had and move into an area that God now can expose himself to people that would not come into the church to hear a man or a woman preach, but to use you with the gift that you have, be it sewing, be it if you're a mechanic, be it if you're an electrician, be it if you're a plumber, be it if you do construction, or whether you have mastered and have something to pour courage for the public, whether you can write books or whether you can fly planes or whether you're one of the best mechanics. God has given you a workable, trainable skill to go into this marketplace and position you now, like he positioned Peter, to go do something you have never done with the gift that you already had. Dear hearts, I hope I haven't just rambled on, but giving you something to really think about. And if you can tell, I'm so passionate about this, because you cannot change lives or leave legacies around you if you keep working your knuckles to the bone for the same people that are giving you pennies when God has given you a gift that is usable and needed by millions. Take your gift. Walk out into this marketplace. Position yourself, not because it's 2020, but because this now is the first day of the rest of your life. And you will choose to waste your talents again doing destructive things that did not get you where God wanted you to be. Now is the time to take that gift and move into an area that you have never casted before and watch the fish get in the net. I'm going to close this out, you know, tonight and with a word of prayer. And I want you to join with me if you know someone that is struggling about going into business. If you're struggling about going into business and you want to go into business, whoever they may be, maybe you, maybe other people, you may have a business that is not doing the things that you know it should, and God has placed you in the marketplace. I want you now, if you're on the phone or if you're on the computer, the hundreds of people that I'm looking at, that are listening and that are on this listening to this particular broadcast, I want you to make a determination, not because it's the new year, but because you're not going to do what you did last or yesterday.
and you're not going to do it tomorrow. You're going to start making plans, positioning yourself, listening to God tell you where he wants you, what he wants you to do, and how he wants you to get that done. Pray with me right now. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. God, we so appreciate you. You have done so much for us in the previous years, let alone yesterday. God, you've allowed us to be a part of this year. And Lord, this is an area of baby boomers, Father, that they call us. They recognize us as this. And we're in our late 40s and mid 50s. And some of us are older, oh Lord. And God, we don't see the country positioning us because Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security is not something that we need to depend upon. Oh God, our eyes need to be fixed upon you. And we need to have the courage, Father, to move forward and to grab a hold of the things that you have given us. So Lord, I pray today for everyone that is listening, everyone who's a part of this broadcast, oh Lord, that you light and ignite that fire in them, that they will not go back to destructive behavior, hemming and hawing in God and being unsure about what's next. God, position them, tug on them, touch them, Father. God, encourage them that they will go forward in this hour, this new day for them, to serve people through you, the ministry, oh God, in the marketplace. Thank you, oh Lord. Father, we bless you. In Jesus' name, Father, be with us. Speak to us continually, Lord. And God, Lord, guide our footsteps. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, God bless all of you. I hope I said something to encourage you that would ignite that fire, that would push you even further, because we want Jesus to be exposed. The ministry in the marketplace is not that Bible that you carry. It's that service that God has put in you to serve him through those people. You be blessed now. God bless you. I look forward to speaking with you next Thursday. Amen.